What's up, patrons, and welcome to a Clone Wars audio commentary. We're not going to waste any time here, we're just going to jump right in. So to sync up with Netflix or however you're watching, I'm going to count down and say 3, 2, 1, pause. When I do that, just pause this recording. Hit play again right when the yellow title disappears from the screen and you should be all synced up. So here we go, 3, 2, 1, pause. The sync points are a little different in these episodes now, but hopefully people still got it at the right point, right when the Clone Wars left the screen.
I almost can't wait until all the episodes are out because I want to watch the these last four back to back.
Yeah, maybe we just do another commentary. This might be my favorite episode of the series.
It's so good.
It's like I need to go back and watch The Lawless and refresh my memory. But
I mean, yeah, we're still doing our whole Clone Wars rewatch, and there's so much of the series that I don't remember, so it'll be nice to rewatch everything and then get to watch this again.
I will do my best to not sit here quietly watching it.
I'm good at talking through things like this.
I read that Maul was one of the few models that didn't get an update for this season. Not that he really needed one, I mean...
I feel like that would be, I don't know, like even harder than everyone else's remodel.
All those horns.
Because of, well, just, yeah, because of how intricate his face is, but.
Well, apparently, like even Bo-Katan got minor updates and the clones got little updates, mm-hmm. Mostly just in the eyes and stuff, but I guess Maul looked good.
He also doesn't have as much screen time.
So we are recording this Thursday night, just a few hours from when the next one unlocks. We usually don't stay up until 3 a.m. to watch it, but the episode description says something along the lines of enemies become allies, and we might get the Ahsoka Maul team up.
Oh, man. I want it so bad.
This scene surprised me. I don't know why. I mean, even though they did a bunch of, like, let's make sure everyone knows where we are in Revenge of the Sith at the start of the arc, I wasn't expecting it to continue. I wasn't expecting to see Obi-Wan again. Bye, little droid.
Who could that be?
I know, right?
Seriously.
He told you.
It's so obvious.
3 years ago. This is also the moment, like, I just felt like the biggest dum-dum. Where the scene where Dooku is killed is played all about Anakin turning, doing what he shouldn't do at the behest of Sidious. But I was like, of course he wouldn't want Dooku to be captured. Like, of course he'd want Anakin to kill him. It means even more than I ever realized. And I felt like that's such an obvious thing I should have noticed.
Yeah, there's so many little moments from Revenge of the Sith that are popping up in these episodes, and him telling her that Anakin has killed Dooku and the look on her face is priceless.
I mean, I think the greatest gift of the Clone Wars is that it makes the prequel era so much more. I mean, the prequels are at the bottom of my Star Wars ranking or whatever. I still enjoy the movies, but I think that's what makes Star Wars as a franchise special, is that you get stuff like the Clone Wars where it's like, hi, every time you watch the prequels now, you're going to appreciate it a little bit more because of this show.
It'll be also really nice to be able to watch Revenge of the Sith, and I'm sure someone will do this, like, cut together these episodes.
The fan edits are coming.
Yeah, these episodes with the movie so that we can see everything that's going on.
It's interesting, we watched that George Lucas, Dave Filoni interview that was on the Star Wars show this past week, and I mean, I've always known that it was shot or produced in 16:9 widescreen, but just George Lucas talking about how cinematic he wanted this show to be. He wanted these arcs to play out like movies.
Mm-hmm.
And the other shows, Rebels and Resistance, are not, or no, they're 16:9. I forget what this aspect ratio is, but they're not as widescreen. It's like they did make the Clone Wars more cinematic than the other animated series. Little fun fact, that clone's name is Sterling. That's the name of my favorite villager in Animal Crossing.
In our Animal Crossing game.
Makes me wonder how much he knows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he seems like he knows about Order 66. What doesn't he know about the plan?
I love how calm his lines are delivered.
But like, that's something else.
It's like a good balance between anger and calm.
Well, that's something else that Sam Witwer talked about in this video that came out this past week. It's on YouTube, on the official Star Wars channel if you want to see it. But Sam talks about how Dave Filoni asked him to deliver his lines more like he did in Solo, A Star Wars Story, which is basically more subdued, not quite as overly dramatic, because you have to do that mm-hmm. in animation sometimes. And he was like, no, play it a little softer.
But then we see later, like, when they have their lightsaber fight, when they did the motion capture for all of those moves, they had to do the opposite. They had to make the moves bigger, more dramatic, because every fight in the Clone Wars is like that. It's bigger and more dramatic mm-hmm. because you can do that in animation.
I'm being quiet. This is your job to pipe up.
He has purple eyes. That's cool.
Bo has like yellow eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the threat of someone going to punch him is like, oh, I'll talk. So we got some Death Watch Mandos in The Mandalorian. It would be cool to see some of the Mandalorians in live action.
Lovingly nicknamed Mandalorians.
This little sequence reminded me of The Expanse. I can't remember if you saw season 3, but there's a fight in an elevator shaft, and then someone gets taken out by an elevator that's going down.
Isn't there an elevator shaft fight in The Matrix? There's elevator shaft fights in, like, so many movies.
There's an elevator in The Matrix. I don't remember an elevator fight.
Maybe not. I'm thinking of a different movie. You're thinking of
Captain America?
Maybe.
They're like, what?
It's also something I've been thinking about since we watched The Mandalorian and all the stuff that they say. Oh, there's
Dryden
Voss on the right there.
I always, like, I get excited about the Feline, not only that they exist, but that they're dressed exactly like Shizor from Shadows of the Empire. So shout out to the Son of Dathomir comic, which is like all we get of how he got to this point, which is fine, but I was really expecting them to
do the whole earring.
Yeah, he's always had that.
Oh, okay.
He has it in live action too.
Yeah, I figured that was why.
He can have accessories.
What was I talking about? Oh, I was talking about the Mandalorian rockets. It made me think a lot more about how they use their rockets after the stuff that they talked about in The Mandalorian. Like, you have to trust it. The Mandalorian people are not taking this well, but they're being saved.
I like that kind of mirrors in season 5 when Death Watch takes over, and you kind of get a similar shot of Pre Vizsla talking to the Mandalorian crowd, and they're all like happy that they're there. This is the opposite.
Maul spreading.
Yeah. Do you think he tried different poses?
Yeah, like how long has he been waiting there?
I think he was trying to figure out how to sit, and they walked in on him, and he was like, oh no, I'm stuck here. I gotta act like I meant to.
He's just happy to show off his legs any way that he possibly can.
What if Ahsoka ran out? He's like, no, wait. Sorry, I was trying to be cool. That was unclear.
The lighting in this scene is so good. We got the Wilhelm scream. I don't think I noticed that first time we watched this.
Everything about this, and there, I, according to the scene they already released from the next episode, it's like just this huge sense of foreboding and that everything is about to fall apart.
It's a powerful line.
Yeah. Do you think Maul has like one of those cork boards with pictures and string?
Yeah, don't we kind of see it in Rebels?
Yeah, I guess so. So many join me moments in Star Wars, but like this is the first time I think I was like, I don't know, Ahsoka, maybe do it.
Yeah.
And I knew she wouldn't, but I wanted to see it. And it's like, I don't think Maul's wrong. He just is doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the goal is to defeat Sidious, but then, or to kill Anakin, or both, all of the above. But ultimately, then Maul is just going to care about who's in power, like he just said.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah, I mean, he wants to be.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, I wonder if this is just her playing him, or if she meant, yeah, I'll do it. But it seems like she was going to do it until he says he wants to kill Anakin.
So yeah, going forward, it's hard to believe that Ahsoka actually thinks Anakin is dead. Or maybe she just tells herself that because, in theory, Anakin is gone.
I think that...
Because in Rebels, she's surprised to find out that he's Vader, but after this...
I think a mix of denial and that she did not sense Anakin in the Force.
Yeah.
She sought him out and couldn't find him, and so she assumed he was dead.
So this is the motion capture fight that I mentioned earlier, and it's so cool. They got Ray Park back to do Maul.
And I know, like, they said that they used his mocap as a guide for the animation. This isn't his direct stuff, but it still feels like Maul, like live action Maul.
Always gotta bring up Obi-Wan.
I know.
Yeah, I loved that Filoni talked about, like, how short and sweet the fight between Maul and Obi-Wan is in Rebels, and how he kind of wanted the opposite for that fight, for this fight. Like, he wanted acrobatics and for it to be big and flashy.
I mean, if Obi-Wan had come here, I am sure that fight would have been big and flashy, but the point is, when you get 18 years in the future, and they're both old men,
mm-hmm.
and it's more about, like, I think Maul was expecting this big flashy fight, but that's because he's living in the past and Obi-Wan isn't.
Mm-hmm. Music is great. Such a precarious place to fight. I still want to know who that pilot is.
I don't think it matters.
Like, are the Inquisitors a thing yet?
Not officially. I think most of them have probably fallen at this point. Like, Henry Gilroy suggested that the Grand Inquisitor helped take down the Jedi Temple. But I don't think an Inquisitor is showing up to save Maul. They wouldn't anyway.
The bad guys always keep trying to get the good guys to join them, and they'll go at any, it's like any cost. Also interesting that he has that line, let me die.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't want to go back. Last time Sidious caught him, he just got tortured a lot.
He's just a very tortured soul, slowly.
I had someone ask
going
me
crazy.
If I thought that there was any meaning behind her looking out the broken glass, and then we get that shot of the flaming wreckage behind her. And yeah, I think what it means is, like, maybe it would have been better. Mm. Maybe she's thinking, I guess I could have gone, but now I'm stuck here.
Like, yeah.
She might be second-guessing herself a little bit, but...
Or at least thinking of, like, how would things be different?
Yeah.
I mean, Jedi are always second-guessing themselves and trying to think of what the best possible thing to do is.
Yeah. Oh, great episode.
Yep.
And we'll be doing tomorrow's episode soon, but... Thank you guys for listening along. Thank you so much for being our patrons, and may the Force be with you.